The Drex Radio Show is next. I'm John Lobertini, KGO 810.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
It's me.
Hello, it's me.
Hello again.
Hello.
This is the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
I heard, hello, it's me, live last night at the Fillmore for the Bill Graham birthday celebration.
Yeah,
damn it, that was fun. I wish you could have been there. I mean, I would like for you, forget about Todd, just to see the people that were at this event.
Yeah, well, I was having a whole lot of fun at home watching the debate. Which brings us to the beginning of the show, and we'll get to all of that, those fun things.
Who had more fun?
I think you might have, but I had a lot of fun watching the official Donald Trump jam.
Cowardice.
Oh, my God.
Are you serious?
Are you?
Apologies for freedom. I can't handle this.
Three little girls.
But freedom brings answer the call.
In American flag uniforms.
Tall. Freedom's on our shoulders. USA.
Sang this at the Trump rally in Pensacola.
Of freedom. Face the music. Come on, boys. Take them down.
I'm gonna go insane.
President Donald Trump.
Three, two, one. President Donald Trump.
Can we have an explosion sound?
Yes, you know, I need my hotkeys. I used to use that all the time.
It'll be like pigtails and glitter flying.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, so if you didn't see it, it's as horrific as it sounds.
Well, and so last night, if you were stuck in the Godzilla epic traffic jam of all traffic jams in San Francisco, where it took you an hour and a half just to get on one of the damn bridges, well, at least you didn't miss any of this.
Well, I'm very happy to get a question this early on. I was going to ask you to wake me up when the time came.
And then turns out he fell back asleep again. And by the way, at the kids' table, there was Carly taking shots at Hillary.
Unlike another woman in this race, I actually love spending time with my husband.
Really? I've never seen him.
No, not so much. That's not working, Carly, either. You and Ted.
I wonder if her husband feels the same way.
And Ben should probably, hook up or something. Go for a threesome. In Canada, that's where you all need to go. Okay, so the big story today is Ted Cruz insults New York values.
You know, I think most people know exactly what New York values are.
I'm from New York.
Well, you're from New York, so you might not. But I promise you, in the state of South Carolina, they do. And listen, there are many, many wonderful, wonderful working men and women in the state of New York. But everyone understands that the values in New York City are socially liberal or pro-abortion or pro-gay marriage.
But stop. Right there it is. Yeah, so New York City is pro-abortion and about gay rights and civil liberties.
And your point would be?
Yeah, and your point would be, dude, you've got to be kidding me. I mean, when he said that, I thought to myself, well, that's it, you're done, besides the whole birther thing, which, by the way, naturally, you know, a natural-born citizen, I think you have to be born in these United States. That's going to be tested. In 229 years, it has not been. Mm-hmm. Today, somebody in Houston, a Democrat, filed a lawsuit, so it will be tested. He was born in Calgary.
This is going to get good.
Yeah, it is going to get good. and so, by the way, even Hillary and Donald agree today that was bad news, Cruz. Damn Canadians. Here's the Donald.
I'm not sure that he knows what he means, to be honest with you. I thought it was very, he should have never said it. I thought it was very insulting to a lot of people, including Maria, who was asking the question. I thought it was very, very insulting. And I immediately thought of the World Trade Center and the bravery of New Yorkers and the genius of New Yorkers to be able to take that whole section and rebuild after the tragedy, the worst thing that ever happened to our nation in terms of an attack.
I can't believe I'm almost agreeing with Donald Trump. I mean, I'd take it one step further because the way New York came together after 9/11, is like the most beautiful thing. And I wish all of that would have lasted in this nation, but it kind of dissipated pretty quickly.
It did last for a while, quite a long time. I think as things
not
go,
nearly
it seems
as
like
long
five
as you would
years.
Think.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's all dissipated. But you know, he was playing to Iowa, and that was a huge mistake. I mean, I get that Iowa doesn't have New York City values, all right? But, dude, you're not going to get the presidency and you're not going to win the White House when you're saying stuff like that.
Well, thank you. Yeah. And I think that most Iowans are actually a lot nicer than that to that point. You don't point your finger at people and say, I don't care for your values. You got it all backwards or whatever. That's not... I just don't like the way we talk to each other in this nation.
The Daily News had it right today on their cover, you
yes.
know, with the middle finger for the Statue of Liberty. Hey, Ted Cruz.
What did it
damn
say
Canadian.
Again? It said, like, better off dead, Ted, or something
better
like that.
Better off dead, Ted.
Yeah.
It was great. And the birther thing is just so much fun.
You know, back in September, my friend Donald said that he had had his lawyers look at this from every which way. And there was no issue there. There was nothing to this birther issue. Since September, the Constitution hasn't changed.
Nice line.
But the poll numbers have. At the end of the day, the legal issue is quite straightforward, but I would note that the birther theories that Donald has been relying on, some of the more extreme ones insist that you must not only be born on U.S. soil, but have two parents born on U.S. soil under that theory. Not only would I be disqualified, Marco Rubio would be disqualified, Bobby Jindal would be disqualified, and interestingly enough, Donald J. Trump would be disqualified.
Happy.
Because Donald's mother was born in Scotland, she was naturalized. Now, Donald...
But I was born here.
On the issue of citizenship, Donald...
Big difference.
On the issue of citizenship, Donald... I'm not going to use your mother's birth against you.
NBC Wall Street Journal just came out with a poll. Headline, Trump way up, Cruz going down. I mean, you can't, they don't like the Wall Street Journal, they don't like NBC, but I like the poll. And frankly, it just came out.
And honest to God, I think if this is tested, I think that the founding fathers of this country, when they said natural born citizen, I'm pretty damn sure they meant you need to be born in these United States in order to be the president. If you disagree, well, 808-0810. Dan in San Jose, you're on KGO. Dan?
Hello?
Dan, you're on KGO. Go ahead.
Okay. Something happened there. Hey, you know, here's the thing about Cruz. You know, he got elected to the Senate. He's from Texas. Is that correct?
Well, his mother was born. His mother is
I don't
from
care
Delaware.
Where he was
yes,
born,
he's a Texan. Yes, and he's a senator.
Okay,
yes.
So here's the thing that I don't think anybody knows. He was backed. He got money. He got a loan from Goldman Sachs.
Goldman Sachs. Yes, he says he's not in bed with the big
Goldman
banks,
Sachs
and his wife works for Goldman Sachs.
Goldman Sachs just paid a $5 billion thing for the depression that just hit us. So I think people ought to know that.
Yeah.
That is one of the main things to know.
Well, it is, and you're right, Dan. I mean, and so he had to, and he did not disclose this to the FEC, and it is a big deal. And nobody's talking about that because everybody's talking about the birther thing or the New York values thing. But that is, Dan is right, that is item number three tonight and today. Because, yes, his wife works for Goldman Sachs. And you know, he's all about, I'm not all about Wall Street. Well, apparently $1 million of you were. Okay, so we're going to get to Johnny Funcheap coming up here in just a few minutes and find out what's going on in the Bay Area and all the fun things that are going on. If you're in the 37% of the workforce who has Monday off, you've got a lot of time on your hands. And you can actually get in and out of San Francisco tonight. Well, that's the good news. All right. And on that point, let's check in with Lee Graham and see, make sure we're not having that Godzilla of traffic jams again tonight.
The Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
Elton John and a tribute to David Bowie.
Thank you.
which was awesome. I mean, we're only hearing the piano version here because in the middle of Rocket Man, he segue into Space Oddity. But how cool is that as a tribute? You're listening to the Drex Radio Show on KGO A10, which brings me to Johnny Fun Cheap, everybody everywhere. Hey, Johnny, how are you?
I'm doing super well.
Well, fantastic. I know there's a lot going on this holiday weekend, and I said, you know, if you weren't in that Godzilla of traffic jams, that epic nightmare last night out of the city, and you're at one of the 37% who has the entire, weekend, including Monday off, there's a lot going on in the Bay, including tributes to David Bowie.
Yeah, it's, all week. I think San Francisco and the Bay Area is a really special place for Bowie and Bowie fans. I mean, it's mm-hmm. what other city in the world is filled with a bunch of space oddities, hot tramps and gender benders. It's just the perfect town, and there's so many things that are happening that are just bubbling up from the community.
Yeah, we already all own the glitter jumpsuit, so good to go. Yeah. I need to get
right
that. Yes. I need to wear this thing. It's been hanging in my closet.
And I've got the lightning bolt on my face already, just ready. So some of the things that are happening are actual, movie nights, like the New Parkway in Oakland is showing Labyrinth, that very, very strange but slightly sexy film starring David Bowie in the 80s. That's happening tonight and tomorrow night. The Clift Hotel is having a dance party, a free dance party with David Bowie. That's happening tonight. And tomorrow night on Saturday, the Makeout Room has a whole bunch of tribute band of musicians from The Mission that are going to be playing all special tributes to David Bowie. And I have no idea if this one's going to take place or not, but they say it will. At Lake Merritt tonight, there's a whole bunch of people on Facebook that are trying to rally together to have an outdoor dance party in honor of David Bowie. Will it happen? It all depends on if you go out there and make it happen.
Oh, so cool.
Yeah.
Little flash mob effect.
Right. And yeah. The weather's still, it's still not raining. I know it's going to later, but right. Yes, go for it, people.
Yeah, so there's just a ton of cool stuff if you're a Bowie fan that you can still do. And the last one, if you got a little bit of money, I'm Johnny Funcheap, so I don't like spending any money. But 1015 Folsom is having a full David Bowie tribute dance party in South of Market tonight. That's $17. It's probably good for a dance club. For me, I wouldn't spend more than zero.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, just to add on to it, New Wave City is this weekend, and I think they were doing, it was a Depeche Mode night, but with Bowie's passing, they've added in the front room DJ Andy T rolling the Bowie songs and hits.
Yeah, big fan of New Wave City. But that's just part of the stuff that's happening this week, and that's the David Bowie-related stuff. Thinking more super hyper-local, it's the 26th anniversary of the Sea Lions coming to Pier 39.
Wait, what?
Yeah,
they actually counted that?
They did, yeah. So apparently, before the 1989 earthquake, the Sea Lions were just wherever they wanted to be, and then something shifted in the earth, and it caused all of the Sea Lions to then come to Pier 39. They started coming right after the earthquake, and in January, that's when they really started coming in 1990. So this is the anniversary, and they have 4 days of free guided walking tours. They call it the Sea Lion Encounter, that you can go down to Pier 39 and learn all about the sea lions, not just from a tourist perspective, but from a local perspective, and learn how to keep them healthy and in San Francisco, and obviously not throwing food at them.
And stay off Highway 37, please. Yes.
Yeah.
That's so funny. I did not. I guess I just that just always got by me that's when
never,
they came.
Yeah, that's.
I wonder if there's any original members from 23 years ago. They probably don't live that long, or do they?
I have no idea. I would. There's some really
question.
Really old cranky ones there, though.
Yeah.
That you see, they'll sit on their little area, and if somebody tries to come up and get to them, they'll bark them away. I think it's great. It's one of the few, touristy things, in air quotes, in San Francisco that I love going and seeing. And you can learn all about them this weekend. And it's all free, of course. That's what makes it fun cheap.
Yeah, and they smell like they've been here 23 years.
They
Take
do.
A bath.
Faux show.
Yeah, so a couple other cool things happening this weekend. It's also a thing called the Yoga Journal Conference. And what that means is that it's a free yoga weekend. The Hyatt Regency in San Francisco on Embarcadero They have a big conference. The passes are kind of expensive. They start at $80. But thankfully for people like me and you and the 37% who have the whole weekend off and the 99% who don't make a lot of money, they have yoga classes at this conference that are free Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So you can go down there, bring your mat, and learn from, you know, some great yoga teachers, and they have a big yoga market. And, you know, like I said, my favorite word is free.
And we have one more, the Good Food Award Marketplace.
Yeah, that one is a really cool one. In San Francisco, they vote on sort of the top 80 indie sort of food purveyors in the whole country, and they fly them out here to present. They have a big sort of a ceremony about it. And then what they do for the public is they have what's called the Good Food Award Marketplace. And for $5, this is Sunday morning starting at 9 o'clock, you can go into Fort Mason, and for $5, you can sample all you want from all of these different, you know, like people who make cheese and people who, you know, they have spirits and beer. And $5, taste all you want, get there early. That would be my recommendation.
Yeah.
And it's a really cool way to, like, sample your way across not just the Bay Area, but the entire country and the best food of 2016.
Right on.
Johnny Funcheap, thank you as always. It's fantastic.
Yes. One quick thing. You, I think, told us, Johnny, that the national parks are free on Monday?
Oh, yes, on MLK Day. So MLK, if you have the day off, all the national parks in the entire country are going to be totally free on Monday, and that includes Muir Woods and Yosemite. And even on top of that, because it's MLK Day, rather than taking a day off, a lot of different organizations are hoping that you take a day on, and it's a day of service.
Right.
And it's a great way, rather than, you know, just take, you know, taking the day off of work,
yeah,
to actually
excellent.
Do something good for the community. So.
Excellent. Right. Thanks a million
thank
for all
you,
your
Johnny
help.
Thank you, Johnny Funcheap. Have a wonderful weekend and a great
sure.
holiday. All right. Thank you. All right. We're going to take a break. Oh, so what's going on with the Oscars? And people have their panties in a wad about, you know, the nominations and the blackout once again for the second year in a row. And we shall discuss coming up with San Francisco film critic. And he will be our guest, Tim Sica, on the way on the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
53 in Oakland, 55 in San Francisco. The Drex Radio Show continues. I'm John Lobertini, KGO 810.
Now more of the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810. I used to bump around in Chicago and listen to the music on the radio. A saxophone was blowing on a rock and roll show. We climbed in the back seat, really had a good time. Patootie, that's my song.
Here we go. Oh, hot patooties tonight, baby. Oh, you gotta love that. That's Adam Lambert, by the way. He has joined the cast of Fox's Rocky Horror Picture Show remake. He's gonna play
whoa.
Eddie. Yeah.
Eddie.
Eddie, originally played by Meatloaf in the 1975 film, which brings me and good evening to San Francisco film critic Tim Sica. Tim, you know, I was just thinking about this, the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Like, what year was that? I had to look. 75. So 41 years ago.
Yeah, I know. We're all getting a little long in the tooth, aren't we?
I know. But, man, oh, man, what a great role and what a great movie. And
yeah, it's like the Energizer Bunny. It just goes on ticking forever. Yeah, that movie.
And now for a new generation, for all the millennials and Generation
right.
Z, they'll get to do it again. All
right,
night long.
Right, absolutely. Yeah.
And see Susan Sarandon just young and hotter than ever, right?
Yeah, she was. Oh, yeah. Well, she's still great looking, but yeah. She was particularly good looking back in the day. Yeah.
You know, the craziest thing about the Rocky Horror Picture Show, and I'm sure this is a lot of people can relate to this, that we were so stoned or hammered that we don't really remember it at this point.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, that was the whole point. You know, or having sex in the corner. I don't know. Well,
you
then.
What?
What?
Yeah,
what?
I saw that movie.
You guys speak for yourself.
Yeah,
come
right.
On.
Thank you. That's Drex's deal, not me and
way
Tim.
Way too many of those parties.
Me and Tim are over here watching it, just like nice people at a theater.
We're appreciating the cinematic quality.
Well, I'm going to tell you what was going on in the projection booth. I'm just projecting a little bit.
I saw that movie with my family the first time.
Oh,
my goodness.
Wow.
I know.
And you're from Iowa? What? You do owe the world an
apology.
My
parents are really cool. All right. Although I don't think my dad knew what he signed on for, to be honest.
I'm
okay,
sure.
Just saying.
Just saying. Okay, Tim, we've got a lot to get to, and so let's hit it. I'm opening this weekend, I'm going to play a clip here. 13 Hours, The Secret Soldiers of Benghazi.
Yeah.
And this is quite controversial, and Trump's all over this, buying tickets for everyone in Iowa to see this film as an attack against Hillary Clinton. So take a listen to this.
How willing are you to die for your country? I'm ready to go right here, right now.
We are overrun.
State's under attack. Let's go, man. State's under attack.
Let's go. We gotta move.
If you do not get here soon, we are all gonna die.
You have a U.S. ambassador at risk.
The ambassador is in his safe haven. You're not the first responders. You're the last resort. You will wait.
We are the only help they have.
It's, and I understand that it takes about 2.5 hours, 2 hours and 20 minutes, and it's just, it never stops moving. But the incident itself never did when the military contractors at that CIA outpost in Libya, when it was attacked, they attacked the American embassy in September of 2012. On the 11th anniversary of September 11th, by the way.
Right. You know, I didn't know that Trump was using this as an anti-Hillary statement, because sure. It's interesting about the movie. It plays almost like an anti-war film. No fingers are pointed at anybody. I don't even think I think POTUS comes up once, that term. But none of the political figures involved were even mentioned, because this is the story. It's what the title says. It's an action movie about the four CIA members who lost their lives there when the American diplomatic compound was attacked and by religious extremists. And the film focuses on a six-person team of operatives who fought to defend the compound and rescue the Americans who were in harm's way. It's a Michael Bay movie. You know, he's the undisputed master of on-screen disaster.
No doubt.
And, you know, he did Armageddon and Transformer and Pearl Harbor and those. Based on the best-selling book, for my money, even though it's got all the earmarks of a Michael Bay movie, it's got this endlessly pulsating music on the soundtrack, it's got this sort of generally superficial approach to the subject matter, it's loud, it's big, it's got total absence of subtlety or nuance, everything's telegraphed and spelled out ahead of time, I think this may be his best movie. Maybe that's not saying much, because the tragedy of Benghazi is literally kind of reduced to a Hollywood action movie here. It's sort of like with a John Wayne.
That's what I was wondering about. Yes, I mean, when the political aspect of this comes into play.
Yeah, well, it's basically one long siege movie, but
yes.
That said, there are moments here which, to me, and I hardly have any objectivity about Michael Bay movies, I mostly can't stand them, but there's moments where you think, you know, this guy's trying to up his game here, and so with all the caveats of what I just said, I'm actually recommending 13 Hours, if for nothing else than the final scene with John Krasinski, which I guarantee will bring a lump to anybody's throat.
Interesting. Yeah. I love your honesty to say,
stuff.
Look, I
yes.
don't like these kind of movies, but I like this one.
Right. Yeah. And I like that you said that about Michael Bay, because I sort of feel the same way, although I have not seen 13 Hours. Now I will. Okay. So let's get to it. I want to get to the Oscar nominations. And before we get to the controversy of the blackout, let's talk about the films that were nominated for Best Picture. The Big Short, Bridge of Spies, Brooklyn, Mad Max Fury Road, The Martian, The Revenant, Room, and Spotlight. Your thoughts.
Yeah.
Your thoughts.
All good movies.
Yes.
Have you seen them?
I watched The Martian, and I'm dying to see Brooklyn. I hear it's fantastic. Start of the Big
Brooklyn.
Short. Yeah.
Yeah, Brooklyn. Brooklyn is great. You know, I don't know if Brooklyn is the best movie of the year, because there's a lot. All those ones you just mentioned are all terrific, but it's my favorite movie. It's the one that stuck with me the most. It's the one I saw the most times, and every time I saw it, I saw something different in it. So. Great movie. Big Short, you mentioned. That's fabulous. People have complained that they don't understand it all, because you're hit with all these facts about the financial crisis of 2008 and the housing market crash and everything, and almost the whole crash of the world economy. But it's so entertaining, and there's so many star turns in the movie, and the energy is so great, and you just can't look away. So, yeah, that's a great one, too. What else is up? You mentioned, what were the other two?
Bridge of Spies, Mad Max, Fury Road, which I was a little surprised, but, you know, because I was thinking when this film came out that I didn't want to see it. Now I do.
Oh. Oh, yeah. It's a great cinematic sort of extravaganza. It's a very pro-feminist movie. And it's a beautifully shot film. Yeah, it's a terrific movie. I see why they picked it for a nominee for Best Picture.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm going to be honest about The Martian. I liked it, but I wish I would have seen it in a theater and not on my television.
Well, I didn't see it at a theater either. I saw it first on the television, but I thought it was a terrific movie. I thought the science of it was really sound. I thought it was funny. I thought the performances were good. It held your interest. It was terrific. A little bit of an upset that Ridley Scott didn't make it into the director category. He was nominated for the Directors Guild of America Best Director, but he, for some reason, was left out of the Academy choices in favor of Lenny Abramson, who directed a movie called Room, which is a very interesting, strange movie as well.
Okay, Leonardo DiCaprio's frontier movie, The Revenant, scored the most Oscar highlights with 12, and I want to talk about that after the break. And we'll also talk about, the Oscars hashtag Oscars so white.
Yeah.
Pretty much. We'll get to Straight Out of Compton and Why Not coming up next on the Drex Radio Show.
Go 810.
Is here. Hopefully you have Monday, Martin Luther King Day off, if you are in that 37% range of working for someone who gives you that day off. All right.
Are you one of them?
Are you one of them? Yes. One of the 37%. So
no, we will be here Monday is my point.
Yes, we'll be working. That's right.
Yeah, Drex, I'm looking at you.
Yeah, we're going to be sitting here. We promise.
I will.
I will too. All right. So back to Tim Sica, our San Francisco film critic, and we are talking Oscars and all things going on, and we wanted to get to The Revenant. So your thoughts, because it led the Oscars with 12 nominations.
Well, it's a big, epic, well-shot, well-acted movie. It's the kind of movie that the Academy just loves to honor and acknowledge. You know, it's big, it's beautiful, it's intense. I think personally it's a little overrated. I don't know, when it was all over, you know, you're put through this basic, basically it's like 2.5 hours of torture. Not quite torture, but it's grueling to watch this movie. And when it's all over, you kind of, at least I was going, well, what was this about? Why was I put through this? And I saw it twice because I went again before I, filed my review because I wanted to make sure I didn't miss anything. And it seemed lesser the second time. So, that's my take on The Revenant. But I understand why the Academy selected it because it's this big, beautifully shot, well-acted movie. I don't know about the script, but, the rest of it I would agree with.
Okay, one of the big controversies is for the second year in a row, everyone who was nominated was a white person. And that seems to be a problem because there were big expectations for Straight Out of Compton, which, by the way, did get a nod for Best Screenplay, if I'm correct.
Right.
But that was written by two white people. So, it's not playing well with some folks.
Well, I'm in defense of the Academy. I think the movies that they select, very simply, are reflective of their race, their gender, their age, and their sensibilities. The membership is predominantly white, male, and over 60. But the films that they generally honor are stylistically conservative, and politically and content-wise, they're more to the liberal side. But to say that, people are saying this is a bad thing, and I don't know the implication of at least the tweets that I've been getting and the things I've been reading on all the Facebook feeds and stuff imply, like they were doing last year with Selma, that there's racism or an insensitivity to people or filmmakers and artists of color. And I question this because I think Academy members simply vote on the performances in the films that they think are the best, and maybe they didn't see Straight Out of Compton, or maybe not enough members saw it to where it, would register in the higher groups of nominations. Maybe they saw it, and maybe they didn't like it, or they thought that other movies, reflective of their own tastes and sensibilities, were better. I think they try to be more inclusive, but in the course of a year, you see what you can see, and you can only see, what you see, and it stands to reason that maybe they'll see something more preferable to what they like first. Unless it's a film like, say, 12 Years a Slave that was just off the charts and everybody said, look, this is an amazing movie, you have to see it. I remember last year, because I'm a member of the San Francisco Film Critics Circle, there was a, you know, the group was upbraided by one of our own members for the movie Selma not having gotten past our second round of voting.
Exactly.
But
yes.
It turns out that half the group never saw it. And then a large portion of the group that did see it didn't particularly think it was a good movie. You know, I was one of those people.
Oh.
I thought it was an important movie and a well-intentioned movie and a movie that I recommended, and still to this day I encourage my students to see it for the history,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't think it was a very good movie. So
yeah.
There's all that in play. You know, the Academy Awards are a snapshot in time, you know, an award given at a particular moment. Although it represents excellence and it should represent more inclusiveness, it doesn't always mean that the very best is always going to be chosen as a winner, or that the choices that they pick are going to be as inclusive as people would like.
I really appreciate your explanation, because it makes a lot of sense, and it's kind of just, hey, it is what it is. And I would PS the whole thing with, is it Hollywood's job to fix the problems that go on in this entire nation?
Well, or should it just be fair and colorblind in assessment? And, you know, it speaks to that. Okay, so I do have this clip from Ice Cube. He did comment on the lack of nomination for Straight Out of Compton.
And I thought you guys would get more.
Me too.
Are you pissed?
I'm not pissed. You know, I'm not surprised. You know what I mean? It's the Oscars. You know, they do what they do. The people love the movie. The people supported the movie.
Yeah.
You know, number one at the box office, over $200 million worldwide. You know, I can't be mad.
Yeah.
You know, I can't be mad.
Yeah. Cool.
Okay, so I think it pretty much speaks to what you said, Tim. And in addition to all the minorities, this year's Oscar snubs also included The Hateful Eight and Ex Machina. And Meryl Streep, yes.
Yeah, I mean,
and Fast and Furious.
Yeah. This is the first year in how long that Meryl Streep was. So,
I know,
why isn't anybody making an outcry for the fact that Meryl Streep was snubbed? And
that's,
you know,
a
that's another thing too—the snubbing nonsense. I think, you know, a snub is defined as what? It's like an affront, or it's a slight, or it's a rebuff, which also implies a conscious rejection. And I just don't believe that. I doubt the Academy, when they're filling out their ballots, and they say, I am not going to vote for this person because I want to snub them. You know, most of the Academy members I've known and I've researched just choose the films they think are best, irrespective of all those things people are latching onto right now.
Excellent.
Because it seems to make for good copy or to just stir up the pot.
Excellent.
Right.
I agree with you, Tim. Okay, so we talked about 13 Hours, The Secret Soldiers of Benghazi, which is opening. That's the big film this weekend. Any others? I mean, Ride Along 2 with Ice Cube, and speaking of, and Kevin Hart.
Ride Along 2 is, you know, I'll cut right to the chase on that. Despite its cast and the talent of its cast, it's a lame kind of lazy comedy. It's exhausting to watch. There's hardly any laughs. It's the sad thing about it is that there just seems to have been no effort put into the screenplay. It's as if the screenwriters were hoping that the talent involved, because Ice Cube is great, Kevin Hart is great, they somehow think that they would elevate the material. And as talented as those guys are, and as pleasurable as they are, you know, as it is watching them try, it's soul-crushing, this movie. It's just, there's nothing more unendurable than a 101-minute comedy that has no laughs.
Right. So it's basically a paycheck. And you know, the promotion that they were doing kind of, I thought, was a tell and a giveaway.
But it looks like it's going to be another franchise. You know, they're already, I think, planning a third one.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good Lord, help us all.
Right.
Yeah. What else?
I don't know. There's an animated film, Norma of the North, with Rob Schneider.
That one I have not seen yet. Yeah, there were a number of ones that opened. There's one, I don't know if we have time. Could I talk about Son of Saul?
Sure. Yes, we got a minute.
This is an amazing drama. It's as visceral a drama as they come. It's about a Hungarian Jew who was a prisoner in the Auschwitz Nazi death camp in Poland, where he works as a Sonderkommando member who basically lures his own people into the gas ovens. And it's a superb drama. It's unlike any other Holocaust movie you've ever seen, or for that matter, unlike any other Holocaust movie that's ever been made, because the audience members experience all the horrors of Auschwitz through the eyes of this prisoner, Saul. So they, in effect, become this Jew, it's probably as close to what that experience was like to those unfortunate souls who lived it. But the horrors are depicted off screen, so even though it's a tough film, you're so drawn into it that you can't look away. And it's going to win the Academy Award for, it just won the Golden Globe for Best Foreign Language Film. And it's the easiest prediction in the world this year to say that this is going to win hands down the Best Foreign Language Oscar film. It opens today in San Francisco. It's going to open wide the following week. It's the reason movies were made. You know, it fulfills and realizes the potential of cinema, you know, to educate and transport and to illuminate and profoundly move and touch us. But I just can't say enough good about Sunfall.
You're so wonderful. When are we going to share some popcorn together?
Anytime. You just email me, Heather.
Okay.
Right on. Okay, thank you very much, Tim. I appreciate it, and we look forward to speaking with you again. Tim Sika, San Francisco film critic. And we'll
see
right
you
back.
In the projection booth.
Right on, yes, for more Rocky Horror. Don't go away. Comedian, this is going to be a lot of fun. Michael Meehan will be joining us in the next hour on KGO 810.